Spartacus' Daughter, The Life and Struggles of Rosa Luxemburg, a podcast by Karol Bulewski. Episode 6, Life and the Cause. Rosa is still in Paris, still working hard to get Sprawa Robotnica printed. Meanwhile, from Zurich, Leo is telling her what to do. We've already alluded to how difficult Rosa always found it to reconcile being a revolutionary with other aspects of her life. She's always had a love for literature, passed on by her mother, and other interests, such as painting. But her role in making Sprawa Robotnica a success for the good of the cause is taking over her life. In this first letter to Leo I'm going to read today, she's frustrated with the people in Paris who are supposed to help her get the paper out to readers. She's exhausted, both mentally and physically. Leo is the one paying for the printing of all the materials, both Sprawa Robotnica and other pamphlets, with the money inherited from his family, and she feels she needs to give him detailed accounts of how the money is being used. She's thinking of giving a lecture on the Polish question for the émigrés in Paris, in which she wishes to make clear the differences between the positions of the PPS, the Polish Socialist Party, and their own party, the SDKPIL. My most precious tutor, today I received your letter with the one from Vlad enclosed. By now, you've surely calmed down, because it was possible to get everything straightened out in good time. Not a single copy of that edition has been delivered anywhere. Only this man Rife, the idiot, gave something to this police agent here. As a note of explanation, Adolf Reif, the Polish printer in Paris, had made it possible for a police agent to meet Luxembourg and had given him a copy of the May issue of Sprawa Robotnica. If getting socialist materials printed was possible from Paris, such activities were still closely monitored by the government. I don't agree with everything you've just written, but that's of no significance now that everything has been taken care of. As far as the appeal is concerned, at present, for health reasons, I am absolutely not in a position to undertake it. Write it, Gould, with as much detail as possible, and since I don't have a lot of work to do, send it directly to me, without Julek translating it. Adolf Varsky might hear something from Julek, and I don't want them to know that you wrote it. Your sportive attitude about having the appeal in the next issue has inspired the Adolfs, especially Yadja. Of course, they expressed total agreement about the appeal all along, but in their hearts they were having a hard time over it, and above all, they were very pleased with your knowledgeable response in regards to the complaints. Be sure to send me the appeal, I'll be waiting for it. I received the brassiere and the underclothes. I'm sending you finally the bill from Rife for the pamphlet. It will definitely give you a shock. I hesitated before, sending it to you because I was absolutely determined to get the price reduced somehow. At first, I categorically refused to pay, and Rife said that we should go to Janiszewski. We had a furious argument. I demanded an itemized bill instead of a lump sum, and I inquired among the workers whether he had really paid them so much. As it turned out, with a few minor exceptions, he's right. What was I to do? Rosa then provides a very detailed account of all her expenses, because obviously Leo is the one footing the bill. And then she gets on to something more important, which is the possibility of giving a public talk on the Polish question. My dearest Gould, how I wish I was already back with you. You know, the thought keeps running through my head that this Polish lecture project may not be such a bright idea, because in such cases, different impressions always remain afterwards, as after the lectures about Mendelssohn. We say we've smashed them to pieces, and they say we haven't proven anything. Perhaps it's better simply to wait and knock them to pieces in our publications. But when I have these thoughts, I say to myself that perhaps they're an expression of a hidden longing to be with you and a wish to get away from here sooner. Therefore, I've decided not to pay any attention to them. But I have no desire to work on this lecture project at all. I haven't yet prepared anything. Until now, I've been busy all day long with matters involving Sprawa, trips to Rife's shops, sending things off, etc. This evening, however, I'll talk with Adolf Varsky. It seems that we'll agree on it, and the lecture will have to be on a Sunday, because otherwise he will have to start at 9 p.m. at the earliest. They have their meals here at 7 p.m. and the travel time is about an hour. And yet I should be writing the appeal all over again and getting it printed. When am I supposed to prepare for the lecture? I'll end up sitting here for an eternity. Oh, my dearest Gould, I would like so much as soon as possible to stop being a mature, responsible person, especially because this doesn't work out well for me. I'd like to get back to you and be in your arms, because everything here leaves me completely unmoved. I didn't always have this fear that in 1 hour a telegram could turn to nothing everything I've been working to build. Dear Golden Heart, this isn't a reproach against you. You're not to blame. Immediately after you get word from Vlad of the shipments having come through successfully, telegraph me congratulations at Adolf's address. Chuchutka, several times I've wanted to imagine you laughing and how you look when you do, and I can't. Why? Why do you laugh so seldom? You'll see what a nasty, awful wife will come back to you with a long, thin nose and circles under her eyes and a beard. Do you want one like that? Chucha, what is the tomcat up to? Does he come to you? Are you good to him? In the second letter I read today, the feelings of exhaustion and of wanting to get away from it all are even clearer. Rosa wants to run away from her responsibilities and be with Leo, just enjoying life, but things aren't as simple. Too many obligations, and she won't just give up. Paris, 1st of April, 1894, early Sunday. My dearest, my most precious creature, I just this moment got your sweet letter. You're mistaken, my only one. In the given instance, we are not racing each other. My status or situation is the same as yours. I dream of seeing you again, my only happiness. I have to fight hard to keep myself from saying to hell with the public talks and all the rest, and not to go flying back to you, but I'm ashamed of myself for that. Besides, I have a feeling, and I'm sure of it, that you yourself will call me back when everything is done. My crew Mitchell, my dear one, my little golden boy, do you want to make a trip to Locarno? Wherever you want to go, even if you just want to stay in Zurich the whole summer, for me it's good to be anywhere with you. I am totally incapable now of thinking about a village to go to. I think only of you. Besides, in this filthy, noisy city of Paris, where I constantly have a terrible catarrh from the bad air and a headache from the clanging and banging. Zurich, so still and calm and sweet-smelling, with Mount Zurich right there, seems to me a true paradise. My gold, perhaps you would prefer to go to Vigis right away. Let me know. I will very gladly go there too, right away, if you just write to me to do that. I repeat, wherever you want, wherever you write me to go, I'll go there without a second thought. I must remain here at least one more week for sure. Two public talks, the visit to Lavrov, and talking things over with Adolf Varsky. That's what's still waiting for me. Now I have to ask you for only one thing, to get together some current statistics on the production and export of grain in Poland. Also on Russian imports. Have not yet thought about an outline, but it looks like I will decide to write a critique against this background of the article in Preglas, because it is an expression of the conceptions here. Anyhow, you have the article, and whatever statistics you found necessary, send them to me, but do it quickly. From Heinrich, I received the gloss, and once again he's made a complete muddle of things. Maybe you can make sense of it. So long for now, golden one, my only, precious, sweet beloved.